reference to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano, we greet you here today. Thanks for joining us here today on this Friday. Thank God it is Friday already. Thanks for joining us here. We're tuning into God's frequency now, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. Let's tune our knobs into his frequency. The word today is going to come from the book of Acts, in the 18th chapter, and this is the sermon I preached this past Sunday. That's what's going on here at the church. We're going through the book of Acts, verse by verse. This coming Sunday will be in chapter 19, Paul in Ephesus. Here now today on the radio, Paul in Corinth. This will wrap up on Monday, so we would love to see you for one of our services. We would love to see you this Sunday morning at 10:30. If you're new to the area, or if you are looking for a new church home for whatever the reason, I invite you to attend Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, islandcommunitychurch.net to find out what we believe about Jesus, because that's the most important thing. Our statement of faith is on there. Also, these sermons are uploaded on our YouTube channel, same name, Island Community Church. Okay, let's get into the Word. This is part one of this message, Paul in Corinth. We're all the way up to Acts chapter 18 here today. What a great study it's been, hasn't it, every week? Seems like I've gained a lot of experience in understanding this last chapter here last week. Now, if you recall last week, remember where we were at. We read in chapter 17, verse 26, it says, God has made from one blood every nation of men, with the one blood being who? Adam. Everyone comes from him. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. So we looked at two things last week. And I added a personal truth as well. Number one, God has determined when you live. Number two, God has determined where you live. Get outside of that and you'll learn that one the hard way, let me tell you. You know, you don't want to learn that one by experience. Willis asked me last week, says, why do you walk with a limp? I said, you know, for 20 years I got up here and I said, never trust a pastor that doesn't walk with a limp. So God said to me, I reckon I can accommodate you. So now I'm walking around here like the mummy now. God's determined when you live. God has determined where you live. And number three, which is my personal opinion, but I still say it's truth. Nevertheless, God has determined who you are supposed to marry and go through life with. Because I had found, get that one wrong, and you'll learn that one. Well, I mean, sometimes that's not easy to ascertain, right? Knowing the will of God for you. Now, today our study is going to take us to the city of Corinth for the very first time. So remember that from last week. God's determined when you live. And think about it. Of all the ages you could be alive, God's got you alive now in the last hour. The two-minute warning has begun. The clock is ticking, tick, 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 tick. God's got you alive now. How cool is that? God's determined where you live. Merritt Island, Brevard County. Okay. Chapter 16,
took us to Philippi. Chapter 17 last week also took us to Thessalonica. Also last week to Athens, where Paul preached on Mars Hill. Remember last week, the Areopagus, Ares being the word for Mars? You know, it's too bad that that guy Dionysius wasn't named Marvin. That would make him Marvin the Martian, right?
Where's the kaboom?
Now let's pick it up here in chapter 18, and let's pick it up in verse 1. Acts chapter 18, let's pick it up from the top. Now after these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he went to Corinth. All right, so he preached in Athens. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, and he went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew there named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy. Yeah, there's the word Italy now in the Bible. With his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to get out of Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. This is what Paul did in his spare time. He was a tent maker. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and he persuaded both Jews and Greeks. All right, so in Corinth, Paul meets this Aquila with his wife Priscilla. Aquila was a Jew, originally from Pontus, displaced from Rome because of an edict in 49 AD from Claudius for all the Jews to get out of town. So they left and came to Corinth. An old historian, an unbeliever, I think his name was Josephus, he said this was because of the constant friction and rioting of the Jews over some person named Jesus. He just drove everyone into a frenzy. Just like it does today, right? Make no mistake, this is a spiritual battle here that's going on. Or else, why are you upset and despondent? Because God loves you. Really? Is that upsetting to you that God loves you? I mean, think about it. If you're upset at that, you have a deeper problem. That's a spiritual problem. There's a real enemy here in this world. You just can't see him. He doesn't want you to become a believer. If you're upset that God loves you, then you have been deceived by someone that hates you. Okay? If you're upset that God loves you, you have been deceived by somebody that hates you. Who gets upset that God loves them? That message got Jesus killed. And Paul stoned everywhere that he went. Some more of that. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood," meaning your enemy's not the person over there, the person that hates you at your job or at work or somewhere else. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hear me now. All of life is a battle between good versus evil. My late wife used to say all the time, "Satan versus God, to see who can end up with the most marbles." Well, I'll tell you what, and I'm sorry to tell you, but Satan's going to end up with the most marbles. By a long shot. But God's going to end up with all of his marbles, including you. And not one of them's going to be lost either. So this is why all the Jews had to leave. Satan engineered it through his peeps, because that's what he does. Remember, Jesus called the devil, John 12:31 and John 14:30. They're not on the handout as well. If you're wondering who rules this world, Jesus called the devil the ruler of this world. Or the King James says the prince of this world. And because of that, this is why there's no prayer in school anymore. Satan engineered it through his peeps. This is why the word of God is banned and not allowed in so many places, because Satan has engineered it through his peeps. This is why Christians are poorly treated and killed because of their faith, because Satan's engineered it through his peeps. So he forms a mob. Remember last week, the old King James says, lewd fellows of the baser sort. He forms a mob when people become a threat. When your name ends up on Satan's bulletin board, that's when he forms the mob against you. Is there anyone here that can relate to that? Have you ever been unjustly slammed and accused of something? Have people ever lied about you? This is what happens. If you're no threat, then there's no problem at all. Take thine ease. All of life is a chess game. Satan versus God to see who's going to end up with the most marbles. But let me bring chapter 7 to your remembrance. Again, God has determined when you live, and that time is now. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you see. Let me encourage you as well. Be a spiritual, critical thinker. Okay? Now, verse 5. We're in Acts 18, verse 5. When you see this stuff, just, you know, pay attention to it. Focus on Israel. Always watch what goes on there. That's the focal point of time in history, is the nation of Israel. Verse 5. Now, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed by the Spirit, or compelled by the Spirit, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. But when they opposed him and they blasphemed, he shook his garments and said, now that was a Middle Eastern way of showing contempt. Like, remember when the Muslims took off their shoe and threw it at George Bush? Here's another one. Is you shake the dust off of your feet as a sign of utter contempt against someone. So when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. So remember, this from the greatest missionary who's ever lived. What missionary would ever say that today? Your blood be on your own head? You're on your own, pal. We're out of here. Imagine if I ever said that from here. See, they would fire that missionary on the spot. I can hear it now, right? Well, that's not very Christ-like of you to say that, right? Oh, believe in Jesus. No, we don't believe. Get out of here. And you say, all right, your blood be on your own head. That would be the last missionary trip of that missionary. Okay, I'll bite. WWJD, right? What does that mean? What would Jesus do? Let's learn from the pro, okay? He said this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. He says this. Bill had it up here on the slide Wednesday night. Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from off of your feet. This is where the guy learned it from. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. So, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say it now, watch the curse he's going to lay on these guys now. Assuredly, I say to you, that's amen, 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 lego human, verily, verily, or you can take this to the bank, or as they say on Laughing, you can bet your sweet bippy on this one. Listen to what he says. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow, what a profound statement that is. What a terrible promise that is. When you respond this way to the man that comes to your house and says, I want to tell you about Jesus. He loves you so much, he died on the cross. Now, we all from time to time have said, you know what, I don't believe that, right? But you run a terrible risk by responding that way. It'll be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So the master says, do it this way. Paul the pro did it that way. But you, Mr. and Mrs. Missionary, you do it your own way. And then so many people get upset and they question and doubt God and say, how could you allow this to happen to me? My family's been killed, or this or that. The answer is you are disobedient to the word of God. You didn't do it the way that he said. When this happens, when you are disobedient to the word of God, anything can happen to you. That's when pianos and safes can fall on your head. That's when you slip on the proverbial banana peel. When you get outside of the word of God. Just like this verse out of Matthew. Listen to this verse. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. It says this. Jesus says, this is on the Sermon of the Mount. He says, first two words, do not. This is a command. It's just like, do not commit adultery. But here he says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Now, like I said before, get this wrong and follow the consequences here. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and they turn and tear you to pieces. We need discernment on when to speak and when not to speak, right? So when people don't want to hear it and they willingly reject the good news, don't argue or quarrel with them. Now listen how the Apostle Paul put it. 2 Timothy 2:24. He said, the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are against you. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and so that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So that is why Paul responded the way that he did. He responded the way the Lord instructed him to respond. This is the second time he's responded this way. The other verse I gave you, Acts 13:46, when he went to that town, I think it was Derbe, he told them about Jesus. He told them God loved them. They got mad. They didn't want to hear it. He shook the dust off of his shoes, and he went somewhere else to those that were willing to listen. Okay, verse 7. You know, sometimes you need to learn how to implement Matthew 7, 6 that I just read to you. When someone asks me, if someone did ask me, you know, why do you believe this? I asked the question, same as Jesus asked. Are you asking for yourself or are you asking for somebody else? Why do you want to know? And see what their answer is. If they really want to know, then you tell them. And tell them 100 times over. But if they're asking you something in order to trip you up, then you follow what Jesus said in chapter 7, verse 6. I mean, I've seen it on the news before. You know, someone, a Christian cake baker, right? They send the press over there and they ask them, you know, what's your opinion on gay marriage? Well, the answer should have been, why do you want to know? Are you interested in what the Bible has to say about traditional marriage? Why are you asking? And if they're not asking for righteous reasons, then you don't answer them. So that this verse doesn't happen to you, lest they turn and tear you to pieces. And when that happens, you've been disobedient to this word. May the Lord always give us discernment. Amen? Okay, verse 7. So he departed from there. This is Paul. He departed from there. He entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, they believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He said, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Boy, that's great encouragement, isn't it? I wish he would say that to me sometimes. Maybe I should try going to Syria or Iran and preach the gospel there. I might have a better chance of hearing that there. You see, but I've got something that none of those guys ever had. I've got this right here. I've got the word of God made more sure. I've got it right here. It says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world." I've got something they never had. I can read God every day of the week, say to me. I've got many people out here. Do not worry about it. Great encouragement. Or this, Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never leave you or forsake you." So I love what he says. I've got many peeps in this city. So here's a city, think about it, that's never heard the gospel. Now, me and Bill were talking right before the service started. Maybe these guys heard it on Pentecost, because everyone was gathered there on Pentecost. They heard this. They saw what happened. They went scattered north, south, east, and west. But if not anyway, here's a city that's never heard the gospel. And yet Jesus tells Paul he's got many in the city, but there's not a Christian in the city yet. How could he have many people in the city if there's no Christians there? No one's ever heard the gospel. See, hear me now. It's because you have always belonged to God, even before you responded. Remember, he chose us before the foundation of the world. I could say there's people in this church that belong to God and maybe don't even know it yet. Or people out here in the world, or people that God's going to put someone on your heart and you're scared to get up and talk to them. Maybe they already belong to him. You just don't know it yet. He said, "I've got many people in a city that's never heard of Jesus before." Proverbs 3:5, remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all of your ways. Right? How does that go? "Lord, I believe you. I don't understand it, but I believe you. I'm trusting in you. You say you've got many people in this city, and I'm standing alone as the only Christian here. I'm trusting you in your word." Right? That's all we can do. That's the best we can do. And that's not fourth down and 18. That's first down. On the offensive, that's first down. All those people, all anyone else needs was for someone to light a fuse on the inside of them. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Plus, if you would have walked by sight instead of by faith, you would have said to Jesus, "Well, that's preposterous. No one's ever heard the gospel. So how can you have a lot of people in this city when I'm the only Christian?" Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Jesus says he's got many people in a city where he's sending you. What's required of you is for you to believe him at his word. That's what's required of you. Look, God's got your back. Wherever he sends you, he's got peeps in every town. Wherever he sends you. All right, verse 12. Now when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and they brought him to the Bema seat. Remember what I said earlier, God bless you. Life is a battle of good versus evil, God's ministers versus Satan's peeps. As for the Jews, here's another proverb for them, true down to the period at the end of the sentence. That is, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You're thinking you're doing God some kind of service by killing Christians. Listen to this verse, Romans 11, 28. It says, speaking of Jews and the nation of Israel, he says, concerning the gospel, they are your enemies. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning election, that is, God's not done with the nation of Israel. You just don't see it yet. So concerning election, that means God chose them. They are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Meaning God doesn't change his mind. Aren't you grateful for that this morning? That God being good to you is not based on what kind of day you've had. That's some good news. So God is allowing Satan to use the Jews to accomplish his will, which is spreading the gospel across the known world. You see, something bad happens, persecution and trouble, but then God takes the bad and turns it around for good, because that's what he does for those that love him. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for good to those that love God. And he'll do the same thing in your life as well. He can take the bad things that happen to you in life and he can turn them around for good. Now back again to this text, verse 12. Pastor Darren's fault. You made me lose my voice singing all these great songs this morning. It is a good problem. I'll whisper it if I have to. Ready? When Galileo was present in Achaia, the Jews with one accord, they rose up against Paul. They brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. All right, let's stop there for a minute. Is that true or not? Did the Apostle Paul persuade people to worship God in a way that was contrary to the law? Sure he did. Sure he did. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe in God the Father.